Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Series where we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And we have been discussing together the ways in which the Holy Spirit seeks to develop traits within us so that our character may reflect the character of God. One of the ways in which Scripture talks about some of those traits is what we call the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5, and we have been the last several weeks talking about some of those fruit, and today we're going to focus on the fruit of goodness. Now, when we use the word good to describe something, we are assigning to that thing something positive. For example, if I were to say to you that I have a good watch, you would assume that I'm saying about my that it does a good job keeping time. For after all, we can, I think, all agree that the purpose of a watch is to tell you accurately what time it is. And so it is good if it does that job well. However, there are times that we are not necessarily agreed on the purpose of something in terms of being able to call it good. When my oldest son was a teenager, he had turned 16, and he had saved up money, and together with money that we were giving him, we were going to buy his first car. Now, my son and I were agreed that we both wanted it to be a good car. However, you see where I'm going with this? His idea of goodness and my idea of goodness were not necessarily the same. What was my purpose for this car? I wanted it to be safe, and I wanted it to be reliable, and I wanted it to be a good piece of transportation for him. That, to me, was a good car. However, in his mind, a good car was fast, it was flashy, and it would impress his friends, and especially the girls. That was a good car. And as we went looking at cars, there was some disagreement about the car we were going to find eventually. We compromised. I think I did more than him, and he was able to get his first car. A good car, but not necessarily the kind of goodness that we could agree upon. And so when we talk about goodness as a fruit of the Spirit, we talk about goodness as something that God desires of us, it is very important for us to ask the question, what does God mean by goodness? Because you and I are not the ones who get to define the nature of goodness, purpose of goodness, why good God wants us to be good. Why does God say that we need to do good works? Why is goodness so important to God? Could it be that our goodness is somehow a prerequisite for God's salvation? Could it be that God says, I want you to be good, I need you to be good, and you have to be good so that I can save you, so that I can be gracious towards you, so I can show you mercy? You know, I really love people who are good, so be good so I can love you. Is the purpose of calling forth goodness in human beings in order for God to love us, to save us? I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we look at the biblical response to that particular question and point of view. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, a letter that Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and these verses are printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along there. God saved you by His grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So Paul is very clear here, as he is in other places. Jesus was clear about this. Indeed, Scripture is clear from beginning to end. No is the answer to the question I asked before reading those verses. Salvation is not dependent upon the good things we have done in order to earn our salvation. Salvation is grace alone. Only the grace of God, which is His undeserved favor, His unearned love, His unmerited mercy. In other words, there is no good thing that you and I can do in order to be saved, and there is no good thing you or I must do in order to be good saved. In order to be saved. Therefore, when God calls forth goodness from us, it is in no way related to our salvation in terms of any work prior to that salvation. There is nothing that we can say that we have done. As Paul says, there is no boast that we can make that somehow we have earned, deserved our salvation. Scripture is clear. We are saved completely by the goodness of God, but not by any goodness on our part. Now, why did God do this? Why did God, purely out of His goodness, out of His grace, provide salvation to us, which is ours, when we believe? When we have faith, that grace produces salvation in us. Well, He tells us. Because in Christ Jesus, we are God's masterpiece. That's His purpose in being good to us in this way, in saving us exclusively by His grace, is so that we may be His masterpiece. Imagine, if you will, that you are walking through a gallery with an artist, a gallery that is full of his or her paintings. And as you go through the gallery with the artist, you're looking at all the paintings and you're talking about them and you're learning more about the artist and about their work. But then you come to a particular location. It's the finest location in the gallery. It is the best lit location. And there is a particularly wonderful painting on the wall, and the artist looks at it and points to it and says, "That is my masterpiece. That is my best work." God created the universe in which we live, and He created it according to His creative and beautiful power. Genesis says that He simply spoke creation into being. And because God spoke, the sun and the moon and the stars came to be and gave light unto the world. Because God spoke, the sky and the land and the seas came forth. Because God spoke, the mountains and the rivers flowed. Because God spoke, there were plants and there were trees. Because God spoke, there were animals and there were birds of all kinds. And every day that God spoke and extended His creation, filling out, if you will, the gallery of His splendor, Scripture says it was good. every day it was good. God saw all that he had made and it was good. And then we come to the sixth day of creation and God creates human beings. Adam and Eve, the first human beings to live in the garden. And we're told that God saw that particular creation and he said, this is very good. This is very good. But what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. The masterpiece that God has created on the sixth day was marred. It was disfigured. It had lost its beauty. It was no longer as God had designed and desired and purposed it to be, but it had become ugly and stained by sin. But God did not give up on his purpose for you and for me that we should be his masterpiece. And so it is in Christ Jesus, as Paul says in the verses that we read, God has restored us and we are once again his masterpiece. What has God done in Jesus Christ through the forgiveness of sin? All that marred, all that stained, all that separated us from God and from his desire for us and from his purpose for our lives has now been restored, has been brought back. We have been reconciled. You and I are God's incredible restoration project. And each one of us recreated in Christ now, once again, hold the title of masterpiece. And what God loves to do more than anything else, if you use your imagination to the gallery of his creation, and he points out the trees and the animals and the mountains and the fish and all the things, and then he comes to that special place. And there's you, and there's me. And he says, in my son, Jesus Christ, that's a masterpiece. That is what I created them for. Look closely at my masterpiece. Do you see any marring? Do you see any stain? No, because they have been created anew in Christ Jesus. It is the goodness of God that has brought this about. It is the purpose of God to recreate us and to restore that which was damaged by sin. Sin is strong. Sin is powerful. Sin is so destructive, but it is not more powerful than a saving God who in his grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit who gives us new birth, can restore anything that has been marred by sin, no matter how much damage sin has done. For he is the master artist, and you and I are his masterpiece. And now, Paul says at the end of this passage I read there in verse 10, we are his masterpiece to hang on the wall for people to walk by and go, ooh, nice, you know, that's a good-looking person there. No, we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus in order to do what? Good works. There you go. We get to the good works that you and I are supposed to do. Now we get to the purpose of goodness that is to be brought forth from within us, like fruit being produced through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we come to the purpose of a good thing, the purpose of doing good, the purpose of the fruit of goodness is that we may live as God's masterpiece reflecting the master artist. Because when you look at the artist's masterpiece, you see something of the artist there. And this is God's desire for you and me, but we certainly need the Holy Spirit's help to do this, is when people look at us, they see not just us, but if we are practicing the fruit of goodness, they see, they experience, they're touched by, they come into contact with the very goodness of the master artist, the very goodness of God. That is the purpose of good work. Good work that God has already foreordained, as one version says, that God has already for us to do. Of course, the only human being who perfectly lived God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived that goodness of God in his everyday life as he went forth. And we hear it in his speech and we see it in his actions. And what Jesus said time and time again about the work that he did, he said, I only do the work. I only know about the business. I'm only involved in the things of my Father. See, Jesus knew the good work that the Father had purposed for him, and that is what he went to do. And where did he learn of that good work? Well, we're not told that in detail, but certainly he learned much of it from the Old Testament. For example, in Luke chapter 4, when he's speaking in a synagogue in a Jewish church, and he says, let me tell you, essentially is what he's saying, let me tell you the work that I have come to do. And he quotes from Isaiah. He talks about setting the prisoner free and giving sight to the blind and so on and so forth. I know what I am here to do because my heavenly Father has already been at work in the world and I'm entering into his work. There is nothing subordinate in Jesus doing that. He's just simply saying, I'm not here to do my thing. I'm here to do Father's thing. So when you and I are thinking about, well, what does goodness mean? What is God's purpose? It's basically this. You and I are here to do our Father's thing. And what is our Father's thing? Well, our Father's thing is that we love Him and that we love our neighbor. Our Father's thing is that we follow those rules that He has given us. Our Father's thing is that goodness is reflecting His goodness. And here we be careful, because there are many religious things, especially that look good to us, or many things in the world that we want to say, oh, that's God's goodness. But Jesus was really good about debunking a lot of those things. He was really good at showing that just because a person was rich doesn't mean that they were a good person. Or just because a person had a high standing religiously, had some kind of a status in society as a religious leader, that didn't mean that they were good. Or that somehow had attained to some kind of a position. That was not simply out of their goodness. No, he says goodness is reflected in humility. Goodness is serving others. Goodness is seen in doing what God does, in caring for the least of these. The Apostle Paul, in his various letters, gives various places. You see these lists of things that are good, attitudes or good attitudes, we say the fruit of the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 4 is just one example. And Paul says this, and this is a way that we can think of goodness. And what is goodness? What is it like? And especially in terms of our thinking. Paul says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. These things are to think about. They are excellent and worthy of praise. Because what we think about, if we think about that which is good in the purposes of God, then it'll begin to affect what we say and what we do. The Holy Spirit works in our lives through Scripture, which He inspired. He works in our lives through prayer. He works in our lives as we consider in our minds who God is, the kind of goodness that He has showed to us and to others, and we seek to think about ways to put that into practice. See, God is at work in the world, which means that God is specifically at work, as far as you or I are concerned, in our particular spheres of influence. Each one of us have particular areas where we have influence within our family, our places of work, in our neighborhood, with various social groups, people that we get together with. They're all different places that we have influence. And it is especially where we have influence that God says, I'm at work where you have influence already. And I want you to enter into that work with me. And we might say, well, what is that, God? I'm not sure that I'm clear. And God says, that's why I've given you the Holy Spirit. If you're in touch with Him, if you're thinking about these kinds of things, if this is where your focus is, then I will help you to see the good work that I have planned for you today. And so you come across a person during your day, that person somehow becomes a part of your sphere of influence. And all of a sudden, you sense a nudge because you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit says that person needs encouragement, or that person needs help with a question that they have about who God is. That person needs help with a practical issue. There's something there where the Holy Spirit is at work within us when we're open to goodness, that we will begin to understand what that looks like in a particular situation. Now, there are literally billions of people in the world who might need much of the same thing that that one person does in my sphere of influence that particular moment. But I can't do anything for all those people. God is at work in their lives, but I'm not. But I'm at work in that person's life. And if in that time and in that moment, I am sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding me to do. Goodness is not just a general practice. Goodness is a particular application of doing the good work that God has prepared for us. And with God, it's always very specific. It's always very individual. It's always very much person person. But again, in order to be aware of that, in order to move in that direction, and not just be out there, if you will, kind of floundering as Christians, trying to figure out, oh, where should I be good and how should I be good and so on, pray and ask the Holy Spirit and say, where is it in particular that you want me to practice the fruit of goodness today? With what person, in what situation? And God, who promises His Holy Spirit to be at work within us, if He calls for goodness when we're looking for it, then He certainly will also direct us to be to places where we can practice that goodness. We are God's masterpiece. We have been created in Jesus Christ to do the good work that He prepared for each one of us individually to do. He knows the good work He wants us to do today. But in order to engage in it, we need to be thinking. We need to be in touch with the Spirit. We need to be prayerfully saying, use me where you desire to use me today. And then the goodness that I'm a part of, that goodness will reflect you, the Creator, and it will give glory to you, for I am your masterpiece. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word today. We thank you how clear and direct it is that our salvation is not based on our good work. We can't boast in our goodness. We can't somehow say, look at me, I'm wealthy because God loves me because I've been good, or I have some kind of a religious standing or knowledge or information, or I'm good because of certain deeds that I have performed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that that is not the measure that you use, but your measure is purely yourself, and it is by your grace that you have saved us. But now, having been saved, now having been restored and become your masterpiece, you have work for us, not exclusive of yourself, but together with you, to be at work in the world as you are, to bring about that which is good, that which is true, that which is honorable, that which is excellent. That is what you desire, and that is what you're about, and that's what you call us to be about as well. And so when we do so, Lord, it is not for our own glory or to our own credit. There's nothing we can do to make you more gracious to us or to love us more, so we don't need to think about doing good works just so that you somehow will treat us better. You already treat us wonderfully, Lord, and you've already done great things for us. We do the good work because we're your masterpiece. And by doing that good work, we reflect your goodness to a world that is so needy for good things to happen. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.